Hello and welcome to Animates, the program which tells stories of animals and how we connect with them. This program is recorded in the studios of 2RPH Sydney for the RPH Network. I'm Katie Brooks. Our interview today is a bit of a family get-together for me as I introduce you to my auntie. Janet King has a deep love for her dogs, and over the years they have helped her through many of life's challenges. Hi, Janet.
Hi, Katie.
Our family has a bit of trouble with our bones. Can you explain what the condition is and what it has meant in your life?
Okay, well, the bone disease that runs in our family is called osteopetrosis. And the reason why I emphasise the petrosis is because it's often confused with osteoporosis. But in fact, it's almost like the opposite of that more common disease. Yeah, it's a genetic condition. It means that our bones are hard, but they're very dense and they break easier than, I hesitate to say, normal bones. In particular, it affects our femurs in our legs and also the humerus bones in our arms, which would be the strongest bones normally, but they actually become like our weakest bones. It can also affect our eyesight, and in some cases it can affect our hearing.
You've experienced quite a few fractures and that sort of thing, haven't you?
I have broken both my femurs twice. I've broken a lot of bones in my feet in younger years. So I now have a steel rod in one femur, and I've just had my second hip replacement in my right leg.
And so that's involved an extended period in hospital and with mobility aids and that sort of thing, yes?
Yes, over the years. Well, the longest period I had in hospital was a six-month stint in 2007. In and out of hospital pretty much the last 20 years of my life.
And it can also leave you prone to infections as well, can't it?
Yes, we are very susceptible to infections in our bones. And I did contract an infection in my left leg in the bone, which was the six-month stint that I had in hospital. I was fortunate in that it was not an MRSA infection, so they were able to treat it. But that is a big problem with our bone condition.
But through all of this, there have been a few companions you've had along the way, haven't there?
I have had some furry little companions, yes. Everything I do in my life is planned around the dogs. But, you know, I don't feel restricted by that in any way at all. So that's the choice that I've made.
It's not just when you've come up to visit family. You've taken your dog on a holiday or two.
I've done big road trips in my car with my dogs, and my dogs have had lots of adventures. They join in on just about everything that I do.
In our family, we just know you as Janet and her dogs, really, don't we?
Yes, they are pretty much at my side in all things that I do. They're included in my life in every aspect. I don't have children, so they're like my kids.
Speaking of children, when you were a child, did you grow up with pets? I've heard a few stories of the family pets.
We had lots of different kind of pets when I was growing up. We had birds. My mum had a bird, Avery, and she loved her budgies, canaries, quails, finches. We've had cats, too many to mention there. And, of course, we had Fred. And Fred was the dog that we had when I was 4 years old. I went with my dad to pick him up out of a friend's litter. I actually picked Fred out, and he was with us till I was 19 years old. He was a very, very special part of our family.
As an adult, I understand you rescued a couple of dogs, haven't you?
Yeah, I've never bought a dog in my life. I've always just sort of let a dog find me. But the most significant rescue dog that I had was Hannah. Well, technically, I didn't find her. She was found by my boyfriend at the time, and he was walking home one night, and this stray dog just sort of came up to him and started following him. And the dog was very excited at one point and started barking and did this funny sort of bouncing back thing. It's a bit hard to explain that one. And anyway, bounced back, unfortunately, into an oncoming car. This happened in front of my ex-boyfriend. And the result of that was is that both of Hannah's hind legs were broken. So he picked her up and brought her home to my place. She couldn't have found a better person to rescue her and look after her because, of course, broken legs in our family are quite significant. So to have this dog brought to my house that had two broken legs, well, what else was I going to do but make sure that she got fixed up? And so I took her to the vet the next day with the instructions to fix her up. And if we couldn't find her owners, I would pay the vet bill and she would come home with me. And that's what happened. She came home and lived with me for the next 15 years.
Oh, well, she ended up recovering quite well, didn't she?
Oh, she recovered beautifully, yes. Both legs healed. One was a little bit more damaged than the other, but both legs healed perfectly. She wasn't held back at all by those injuries. She ran, leaped. And as I say, with this thing that she did do on the night that she was hit by the car, she just used to sort of get up on her hind legs and bounce back and bark, and she was even able to do that again. You would never have known. And even in later years, when she did get older, she didn't even really appear to get any arthritis in those legs. She was still pretty active and pretty mobile.
She was the dog you had at the time when you were in hospital for 6 months. You must have missed her a lot then.
Oh, I did. Yes, I missed her very much.
There was even a little incident where she paid you a visit, I believe.
Yeah, so perhaps I better not mention what hospital I was in. But I was in a certain hospital and my ex-husband decided to bring Hannah in to visit me one time. And it was all done very well, boldly, sort of running with the theory that if you just do something confidently enough, no one will question you. So he just walked in through the hospital with his dog and walked her to the ward I was in as if it was the most normal thing. You know, you bring a dog into the hospital to visit people, like nothing to see here, nothing wrong here. Hannah came in and the nurses were very accommodating. By this point, I had been in hospital for probably 4 months, so I was pretty well known, had a good rapport with all the nursing staff, and they all just sort of let Hannah sit on my bed, and I had a lovely couple of hours with her, and it was nice. It was just one of those moments that just helped to keep me going, because I ended up having another 2 months in hospital, so something like that can keep you going for quite a few days and a couple of weeks after it happens, spurs you on.
Even when you haven't been in hospital, your dogs have been a great help to you in these kind of difficult times, haven't they?
Oh, yes. I love them and I know they love me, and it's an unconditional love. It's a very precious thing. They keep you going, whether it's when you're really unwell and you just can't get out of bed and they just lie on the end of your bed and you just sort of pat their heads and it's a two-way comfort kind of thing. Or to when you are starting to get better and you need to start getting motivated and you need to start doing some rehab and some exercise. For me personally, one of the best forms of exercise is walking a dog. I just get absolute joy and pleasure out of it. And I love watching my dogs frolic. I'm fortunate that I live in an area where I can run my dogs leash free, and I also live near a beach, so I can run my dogs on the beach, and just gives me absolute pleasure. Just doing what they do, they just run and leap. And
a lot of people we have on this program say that they feel that their animals can recognise when they're having a bad day and they're in a lot of pain. Have you experienced that?
Yes, I have. They certainly know when I'm sad. They are very good at recognising what part of your body might be aching or ailing you at the time. So there's been Jag, who was a Kelpie cross that I had. She was a very different kind of dog to the Kelpie that I have now. While she was very affectionate, she was a lot tougher kind of dog. She wasn't as sooky as what my kid is now that I've got. In some ways, Jag was probably a little bit more in tune with knowing when I was in pain or when I was sad or something. I kind of feel like JAG was a little bit more tuned in to emotions or those moods that I had, yeah. There was another dog in my life there for a short period of time. His name was Snoopy. He was a blue heeler. He had the real blue heeler trait. He was the protector. He would just pick things out in people that he didn't like. It's like he had this radar for people that maybe weren't so nice or people that weren't sort of so good. I don't know what it was. You do hear a lot of stories about that is part of the red and blue heeler nature, is that they are very good at picking out personalities. And my Snoopy definitely was like that. Hannah was more of a fun-loving dog. She just loved to play. She was like an entertainer, actually, was Hannah. I do notice that the dog that I have now will be very wary around my legs. I can have her sit on my lap, but she's just very gentle.
You mentioned your current dog. Could you tell us a little bit about her, please?
Well, my current dog's name is Kit.
And what kind of dog is she?
She's another Kelpie cross border collie, but she looks very much a black and tan Kelpie. She's 11 years old now, but she is still very fit and agile and she's in great health.
But a little bit of a sook.
A lot of a sook. She's very much a mummy's girl, I think. She doesn't like me being out of her sight for too long and she sticks to me like glue. At the moment, while I am here in Sydney, she's actually at home now with my brother. He loves telling me how she only plays up for me, how the minute I walk out the door, apparently it's like, oh, she's fine. She doesn't play up for him. I mean, I'm biased, but she's just a gorgeous girl. She's just very snuggly, very cuddly. Yeah, she's my best friend.
You and Kit currently live on the south coast, so you had a bit of an unwanted adventure together during the recent bushfires. Can you tell us a bit about what happened there and how that shared experience was for you both?
Well, we did. I live in Bermagui, and while we were fortunate in that the fires didn't actually come to Bermagui, they were, of course, only a few kilometres away from us. They came within only about 5 kilometres of Burmie. I was woken up at 5 o'clock on New Year's Eve morning to alerts from the RFS telling us to evacuate to the nearest beach. Went out onto my veranda to see just scores of cars tearing into town across our bridge with caravans, horse floats. It seemed like they were doing about 100 kilometres an hour, and it was quite a confronting scene. And so I just sort of had to pack up, sorry, even thinking about it now, it brings it back a bit, you know, just throwing things into a bag, clothes and all the necessities that I thought I would need. Getting Kit into the car was first priority. I was worried that she might sort of run off in the panic of everything, but, yeah, got her into the car. And we sat down at a boat ramp in town near the water. And it was, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning and the sky was still black. It was as black as midnight. And there was ash falling from the sky and burnt leaves. And I just sat in the car with Kit, just not knowing if the fire was going to hit our town or not, and it was certainly heading towards us. We could see the fire from where we were sitting in that car park. We were blessed with a wind change, and that's the only thing that saved Bermagui on that day.
It must have been a bit of a comfort for you, though, to have Kit there with you.
Oh.
So you could just sort of pat her and reassure each other in some ways.
Yeah, oh, no, it was, yes, but she was very quiet. She was very subdued kind of thing. I mean, we were cooped up in the car for about 2 or 3 hours. Generally, she wouldn't really like that. You know, she wouldn't like to be sort of just sitting in a car with no windows open for all that time. But it was kind of like she just knew that, well, for some reason we're in this situation and I've just got to wait it out with Mum and there's no point in complaining because we're stuck in this situation. And I did just kind of feel like that she tapped into that.
You guys basically lived in your car for a couple of days, didn't you, until you were able to get out to Sydney?
That's right. Yeah, we were. We were able to go back to the house that night, but we had no power. But then the next night I had to evacuate again, and we slept in the car that night. And then we left town the following morning, and then we had to sleep in the car again the next night. So, yes, for 3 or 4 days we were basically living out of the car. She was fantastic because, as I say, we were just so far out of our comfort zones for both of us, so far removed from our normal routines, but she just adapted. Having her with me to just cuddle and talk to helped get me through it, yeah, completely.
Thanks for your time and coming to tell us a little bit about it.
That's all right. Thank you for asking me, and it's been a pleasure to discuss this topic.
And that brings us to the end of another episode of Animates. This program was recorded by 2RPH Sydney for the RPH Network. Our researcher is Joseph Schwanzer, and I'm Katie Brooks. Please join us again next time for more stories of animals and their mates.